Hello, everyone. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kristen.
And we're bringing you our weekly podcast called Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. Kristen and I met a few years ago through a mom's club in our town, but our friendship really took off when we started sharing the heartaches and successes we both experienced in raising our children in blended families.
We hope to share insights, stories, and a few laughs with you on this crazy and rewarding journey of parenting. So grab your glass of wine, and if something we share resonates with you, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening to Girlfriend's Guide to Blending Families. We are back with season two. Tonight, I am joined by two awesome ladies that are going to share a bit about their experience as single mamas. Lisa and Nikki, thank you for joining us and for telling us a bit about your stories. Nikki, would you love to tell us a little bit about you?
Sure, absolutely. Hey, guys. So my name's Nikki DuBois, and I'm a single mom to a nine-year-old little girl. She's in fourth grade. My journey began back in 2010. And I was actually working in a restaurant, and I don't know if anybody out there knows what it's like to work in a restaurant, but, there was a lot of work and then getting off and partying and, going to sleep and doing it all over again. So at that point in time in my life, it was very, miscombobulated, I guess you could say. I didn't have much direction. I didn't have much drive, and I was just trying to make ends meet. And then in 2010, I found out I was pregnant because of poor decisions that I made. But I'm so very thankful for that decision that I made because I would never look back. But, you know, her father was in and out of our lives. He wasn't committed. He was a lot younger than me. I am 34 now. And when I had her, I was 25. And he actually was 20 years old when I met him. So it was a big age difference. I mean, not huge, but in maturity wise, a huge difference. And one day I just decided I couldn't handle the in and out anymore. And I never looked back. So now, with everything that comes along with being a single parent, I am trying to do what's best for my child and allow her to kind of have that decision at the end of the day if she would like to speak to her father and have that relationship. So I'm trying to help him stay consistent with her so it's healthier rather than hindering her and her growth with him. So that's kind of where I am right now. And it's been about 4 years since all of that happened. And I just feel like I've become much stronger as an individual through all of this. So that's kind of my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That is awesome. So how does your daughter feel? Like, does she want to talk to him most of the time, or is it sporadic?
You know, I'll be honest. She does want to talk to him all the time, but I think it's because throughout the years, I wasn't very honest with her about her dad, and I painted a pretty picture. And so I don't think she understands really, what kind of space he's in or has been in, which is okay. But she does right now want to talk to him often. He lives in New York. So, they FaceTime, and, you know, he'll call her before she goes to bed. So that's kind of the gist of conversation. But if he doesn't call, then it's not something where it causes anxiety for her, which is a good thing.
And I think that's great that you are, you know, forging that relationship for them, because, yeah, we want to be honest with the kids, but at their age, and especially you said she's nine, right? That,
yep.
She's too young to know all that. She will come to learn of him as an adult and a person rather than just her dad later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So she does not actually see him. They just FaceTime.
So he actually came down here a month ago, and we drove out to Greensboro for the weekend, and she got to spend some time with him over the weekend. But that was one time in like 2 years. So I think now he's kind of growing a little bit and understanding what it means to be a father. And so he's making some, you know, baby steps to be there for her. So I'm hoping that in the future he kind of continues that, but we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Well, that seems like kind of tough because, you know, I'm sure that she wants a father figure or her father in her life, but are you, I don't know if you're comfortable sharing this or not, but if and when you decide to bring another man into your lives, how do you explain that to her as far as, you know, this would be a potential step parent for her?
Yeah. I mean, she kind of understands that. We've had some conversations about having a step parent and what that means. And she has some friends who have step parents too. So she kind of understands the dynamic and she knows that mommy and daddy are not going to be back together. But we're working together to help her through her journey. And potentially, you know, he could end up having a girlfriend too. And I mean, she's okay with it. I think as long as she knows that I'm happy and she's happy and he's happy, then she's content.
That's awesome. Lisa, what do you think that is different? I know we haven't gotten to your story yet, but how, you know, Nikki has been teaching her daughter and sharing that relationship with her dad versus, I know your situation's different, which we'll get to, but do you have any thoughts or comments on, you know, just the difference with having a dad that's local and more available and around versus the long distance?
Oof. The only thing I could say is from my experience with my ex and my kids, he was close enough to be in and out, you know, be a part of their lives, where me as a child, my father was far away. I got to see my dad once a year. And I can tell you, you know, now at my age, as a grandmom, in my 50s, I still have effects. I find that I do things at work as an adult that I can see are affected by not having had my father in my life when I was younger, or seeking the approval of my father when he was around. So I think it definitely is important to, for girls, for young girls, to have a strong female, a strong mom. But it's also important for them to be able to work out the whole dad thing too, just in the relationships they're going to pick, in how they present themselves at work, and especially if they find themselves in a heavily male dominated field at work. So don't know.
I think that's amazing advice. I remember, you know, in my own situation, you know, my husband has three daughters from his first marriage. And I remember early on, you know, commenting to him privately about the interactions that he would have with them. And, you know, I remember thinking, like, you can't say that. Like, they're getting older. Like, you need to set the example of the man you want them to find later. Mm-hmm. Because if this is what they're seeing and hearing, like, that's what they're going to pick. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree with you more. Like, the dad for a daughter, you know, in my own experience, like, I grew up with a dad and a stepdad, which who were both amazing. And they really just always built me up. Like, I feel like I am the confident woman I am today because I had a strong mom and I had two dads who were super supportive and always encouraging. So, you know, whether it's your dad or your stepdad or, you know, mom's boyfriend, whoever it is that's consistently in your life, I 100% agree that it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll say too, I think a lot of the men in our family have really stepped up for her because they know how important that is to have that figure there. Like when they have Father's Day stuff at school or, you know, the daddy daughter dances and stuff, my dad will always go with her. And, you know, I think that's really important that he shows up for her in that regards. And, you know, the uncles and the cousins, they all are very present with Mia. And I think that's really important too, that even though, you know, I don't have anybody in my life right now, that she does have those people who are there and show her what it's supposed to be, you know, what it's supposed to look like. And the men in her life are there to kind of guide her through this journey.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. She's very, very lucky.
Yes.
So let's go on to Miss Lisa and tell us a little bit about your story.
Oh, so let's see. My first husband and I were together for 10 years. We had 3 kids. And in 2000, we decided to part ways. The kids were 5, 7, and 9. So like you, Nikki, I had a 9-year-old. And in my situation, it was funny. It was hardest on the 9-year-old. The 7-year-old, he was the classic middle child, so he just wanted everybody to be happy. And my 5-year-old, she just wanted everybody to be happy too. So the 9-year-old took it the hardest, but they were great because their dad and I, we decided we didn't do us well, we did our kids well, and so why throw the babies out with the bathwater? So I think one of the best things that we did with each other was make sure that we kept being good parents together, just because we weren't going to live under the same roof, or we were, you know, potentially going to see other people or move on with our lives that way. We maintained as much stability and consistency for the kids as we could. And as a result, they didn't have to experience too much of, you know, the disagreements or the fighting or anything. He would always say to them, keep mom happy. You know, I don't want to hear that you're doing something and mom's unhappy. Keep mom happy. Mm-hmm. And that meant a lot to me to have his support like that. And I didn't, you know, go after him for child support or anything like that. I figured, you know, you're their dad. You're going to do what you do for them. And I'm going to do what I do for them. And together we would move around them. So they lived with me. They had their school, their friends and whatnot. And he lived in a different school district, a couple towns away. And he would come over one night a week and one weekend day. And I would leave and I would go out to dinner with my friends or do, you know, whatever I wanted to do. And he would come enter their lives in their home. And I would leave. And then when I would come back, he would leave. So they got the stability of always being in their house with their friends and their lives. It was just whichever parent was going to be there to run them around. And I think that helped them have stability. It wasn't, you know, oh, there's something going on this weekend I want to do with my friends, but I can't because I got to go to dad's this weekend, you know, or, you know, things like that. The other thing that neither of us did too much of was bringing other people into their lives early on, which I think it would have been hard for me to see another woman influencing the kids if I didn't get to know her, if she didn't think like me. You know, he dated one girl for a while there and she was not like me at all. And she was influencing them in a way that I didn't approve of. And that was tough. That was really tough. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. You know, if I dated outside of the home, I didn't usually try to get the kids involved in whatever I was going on unless I was really sure. And I was on my own mostly for 12 years, dated a few people off and on. But then, you know, after 12 years, I did meet someone and I did approach the whole blended family subject. The kids were my kids at that point were teenagers, and we brought my husband now. When he moved in with me, he had 3 children of his own and they moved in with us. So we had my eldest had moved out. So we had 5 instantly under the same roof. And for me, that was kind of crazy because the 5 were almost all about the same age.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't like 2 different sets of kids, 2 different sets of ages. They were all in that 14. There, 2 of them were 16. There was a 17 and a 19-year-old, I think. Mm-hmm. They were. It was just like instant insanity.
I can't even imagine having that many teenagers under one roof at the same time.
let alone, I had 2 boys and a girl, and my husband had 3 girls.
Oof. Yeah.
And beautiful. multiple girls. So yes, and I had teenage boys. So that was scary. There was a whole lot of pace in the hallways between bedrooms at night, you know, like, yeah, no. But we worked through it, and they're all out on their own. They're all adults now, and we've got grandbabies, and we've got 3 of the 6 are married.
That's awesome.
And one's engaged, and yeah.
That gives me so much hope.
Ooh. It's definitely, you gotta like roller coaster rides, because there are moments, but.
It's funny, we were just talking today about having more than one teenager in the house. It's funny that you had happened to mention that, because ours have all been very spread out. Like, my stepdaughters are all much older, and then we have like 3 little. So we always kind of refer to the big ones and the little ones. But we have the 12-year-old who's, you know, like going through the hormonal stage of puberty and all that. And I cannot imagine having more than one like that at the same time, because it's a complete roller coaster. One day she's happy and fabulous, and the next day it's like, watch out. So, I have my own issues. So,
right? Yeah, we had 4 girls plus myself under the same roof. My husband would say he was swimming in the sea of estrogen.
That is actually perfect. Yeah. So, Lisa, what do you think was like one of your biggest struggles when you were doing the single parenting versus when you went into the blended family? So you're, you know, dealing with littler kids on your own versus dealing with teenagers in a blending situation.
I think, sometimes just the feeling of being alone and having the weight of the world on my shoulders and wondering whether or not I was getting it right. And I think one of the hardest parts about being a mother, being a parent, because I think this applies to dads as well, is wondering if you're doing it right. And there's no guarantees until they become adults and you see them making it on their own and raising their own beautiful children. And they come back and they say, God, Mom, thanks, you know, and you're like, oh, I did it, you know, yeah. I did it, and I didn't mess them up too much, you know, like, you're not going to do everything perfect, you're going to do what you think is best. There were some pretty scary moments sometimes. There were moments when I cried myself to sleep, and I think that consistency, keeping them, like, you define the ends of the bed, you let them know where the ends of the bed are, and when they push those boundaries, you remind them that the boundaries are there, and they seem to be more secure for knowing you're in charge, you got this, and you got my back. That really helped trying to stay consistent with them. When I got inconsistent or questioned myself, then I could see them be like, what's going on? You know, where's Mom? Yeah. We need, you know, so I think that helped with the blended family. I think that what we could have done better was we lived far apart from each other. Like, you know, we were states apart from each other. We met online. We had known each other from high school. So, but we got back together 26 years later. And so when we did actually physically move in together, we hadn't really dated enough and had one-on-one time enough that we were prepared to deal with all the issues that the kids were going to have. And looking back now, I think that what we could have done better for them was focus more on the transition and change management of what they were going through instead of the holy crap, what we're going through, not to mention trying to like learn each other was learn each other and deal with 6 individual personalities, not liking what was happening or liking what was happening. Not to mention then you had the exes and their influences and their, undercurrent, affecting it too.
I think, you know, everybody would have, you know, the perfect way of doing things. And I think that we all look back and say, well, could I do better or could I have done differently? And we blended very quickly as well. And looking back, like, I think, yeah, more time getting to know each other better so that you, right, you're thrown into this like sea of hard things that are happening and you don't even really know your companion yet. So yeah. I think, you know, Nikki, for you going through that, you know, at some point in the future, like I would say my advice would be really take the time to get to know that person. And, you know, if they're not already a parent, that's going to be, in my opinion, like worth a lot more time than if somebody's already, if the man is already a parent, because I've found that people that don't have their own children yet just don't understand what it's like. They can't, and that's no, you know, fault of their own. They just don't get it.
Yep.
So, you know, Keith and I would have preferred to have spent more time getting to know each other as parents, not just like as humans, because, you know, one-on-one just as an adult, we were great. But then when you threw the parents in, like he had already been a parent for 12 years and I was a parent for like a year. So mm-hmm. we had very different styles, very different experience levels. And even now, you know, I think we're 7 years later, we still have differences. Like we parent differently and it's still a struggle as the kids keep getting older to find that middle ground and what's right. Cause like Lisa said, there's no handbook for it. You just kind of hope and pray that you're doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I love that we're having this conversation right now too, because just today I was having like, I've been struggling all day with that. Like, what am I doing wrong? Like, am I doing this right? Does Mia know how much I love her? You know, does she see that everything that I do in regards to work, like I work very hard to provide her everything that she needs. Like, does she understand that? Like, there's been so many things that have been going through my head all day and literally I've been a mess all day long. And I've been just looking forward to this conversation because I'm like, I need to get it out and I need to talk about my experience and learn a little bit from the pros. So it's good to kind of hear that I'm not alone through the process too, that, you know, there's other people out there who totally understand what I'm going through.
The gift of being a mother is the sacrifice or a father. This applies to both, but it's the sacrifice that you make. You eat cold meals, you have sleepless nights. If you're sick, it doesn't matter what you do. You still have to get up, you know, and do what it takes to feed the children. The book, The Invitation by Oriya Mountain Dreamer, was one of my favorite poems ever. And that one, there was one line in there. It said, you know, when you're something like when you're tired and weary to the bone, can you do what it takes to get up and feed the children? And oh my goodness, was that like a motivational poem for me when there were times when I was just like, oh my gosh, I just can't have one more thing on my shoulders. I can't take one more thing. I've got teenagers fighting and making decisions that scare the crap out of me. Yeah. And work, you know, the pressure of work, but I got to make the money and I've got to get my degree and I've got to push for the next promotion and let alone try to feel like, you know, a sexy woman to go out and date so that hopefully I could feed my own soul, you know, but can you do what it takes to get up and feed the children? Mm-hmm. Can you keep on going? Can you keep doing what you got to do? And I hear what you're saying, like you're beating up on yourself and saying, does she see all of what I'm doing? You know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Are you doing what she needs in order to become a full, whole person? And when that job is done, then she'll automatically look at you and say, my God, Mom, the sacrifices you made for me. She'll mm-hmm. see it. You're just, it's just going to take until she's a yeah. grown up for you to see it.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that's totally true. And, you know, one of the cool parts for our family is having the little ones watching the big ones. Mm-hmm. And then I get to watch how the big ones, you know, care for and babysit and treat the little ones. And every once in a while, I see my influence in the older ones as they're caring for my little ones. And I'm like, oh, that was from me. I'm like, okay, like, hopefully, like, they're getting some of the good things. Not that I'm perfect in any way, but hopefully they're learning some of the good. You know, I like to fuss and make a production over everything. So, you know, every birthday is a big hoopla and we get all kinds of celebrations. And, you know, holidays, like, it's nothing major, but I just try to make things special. And then when I hear them remembering it or telling the kids, oh, remember we put this here on this holiday, or no, remember we do this, I'm like, oh, good. Like, it is impacting them. And I think it's in those small moments that you get that little bit of, I don't know, feeling or love or grace that you're just like, okay, like, I'm not perfect, but they're doing well and they're getting some good things. Okay, so I have three questions for both of you. I don't know who wants to go first, but my first question is, what was the hardest stage or season for either you personally or for you in relation to your kids?
I can go ahead and go first. I would have to say that the hardest stage or season that me and Mia, my little one, went through together was when it was the decision I made to leave her father and, you know, kind of go our separate way and try and figure out this whole co-parenting thing. Because I was questioning myself, even though I knew it was the right thing to do for both me and her, just because it was just not a good stable home. But she loved her father so much, and so I struggled with that for a long time. And but I knew at the end of the day it was the right thing to do for her to be in a more positive setting. So I think that was a struggle. I mean, I cried a lot of nights after she would go to bed, because I just knew that she was hurting and I was hurting, but I knew at the end of the day we would get through it together, and we have. So that was probably the hardest that we had gone through.
And you got through it one day at a time.
That's right,
right. How about you, Lise?
Teenagers. Teaching teenagers to drive.
One word, teenagers.
Teaching teenagers to drive. That is frightening.
Did you teach them, or did your ex, or did your husband teach them?
I taught them.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not taught anybody yet. Keith takes care of that.
You are a lucky woman.
Yeah. I'm scared. I'll get in the car with them after they've had a couple lessons and they have their permit. I'm like, all right, let's go. Because, again, we're different. Like, I see different things than he does. But no, I didn't do the initial. No way.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
And trying to be positive, you know, like, you don't want to scare them. And they're all different.
Yeah.
And I remember one time with my eldest was pulling, you know, just saying, okay, pull over here into this parking lot. And he did. And I said, turn the car off. And we went for a little walk. And I said, I just need to get a little air. I didn't want to, like, criticize him. I didn't want to scare him. But I just needed to, like, walk it off a little.
Get your heart rate back down. So one of the newer things for this season of the podcast that we're going to do is adding some more music. Because for me, I love music, all kinds of music. And I always find, like, a motivational song or inspirational, I don't know, quotes out of songs. So I want to incorporate that into our podcast now. So my next question is, if you are a music or maybe poetry lover, what is your favorite motivational or inspirational song or poem that got you through that hardest season that you were going through?
Oh my gosh. So this song always comes back to me. But do you guys know the song Stand by Rascal Flatts?
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yes.
So actually, when I was going through the tough times before I even had Mia, my dad had mentioned that this song reminded him so much of me, because, you know, I've gone through some tough times throughout my life, which most of us have, and I always came and stood back up and kept going and found a different journey to take, you know, that took me to a different direction. But after having Mia and going through everything that I did, like, that song is on repeat all the time when there's something that's just going on that I feel like I cannot get through. And I am reminded by that song, you know, how strong I am, and, you know, my parents backing me up with that strength. And that always gets me out of the funk and keeps me going. So I would have to say that song for sure.
Awesome. Love that song. How about you, Lise?
You're Gonna Be by Reba McEntire.
Oh, I like that one too. Mm-hmm. I love that we're all country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a good one. I actually, when I was thinking about adding the music for this season of the podcast, one of the other Reba songs came up, and it's called Every Other Weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know that one, but I cry every time I hear it. So I was like, I want this podcast to be happy, so I'm not going to do that one. But it's just like every, it's so true.
I cry every time. I cry every time I hear You're Gonna Be. I think Reba just does that, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Speaks to your soul.
So last question, what advice would each of you give to the listeners tonight that are going through maybe a similar situation that you are, or are embarking on single parenting or making that tough decision to become a single parent?
I would have to say in my situation, one thing that's really helped me is reaching out to other people who have the same common denominator of being a single parent, because I think we're always better together. And I think it's nice to know that there are other people out there just like you. And when you link arms with people who are in the same predicament, they understand what you're going through. They can relate to you. And I have found that it's kind of helped me because I can talk to somebody that knows what I'm going through. So they understand it, where it's not just I'm talking to somebody who has no idea what I'm talking about and just says, oh, it's going to be okay. So I think my advice is to, you know, just know that you're not alone, and there's other people out there just like you who are going through the same things. And I mean, just lean on them and learn from them, especially like Lisa. I would love to talk to you after this, but
definitely,
I think it's just very important to know that you're never alone.
I love that. And I do the same thing with the step parents and blending, because that's definitely the biggest thing in my life that's going on. You know, I can be a great mom, but be a great mom and a stepmom in the same house is just, it's a constant roller coaster. Mm-hmm. So I love that, you know, there's other groups out there to share and connect. And a lot of the times, in all honesty, I feel much better about our situation because the stuff I read is so much worse. And I'm like, okay, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And you, Miss Lisa?
I guess my top three would be definitely when you're going through the divorce, separation, whatever your initial part as a single parent, don't talk trash about the other person in front of the kids. If you're arguing and you're fighting, keep it private, but always show to your children respect for the other parent, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you don't like what happened or the person. They do. They're genetically wired to love their mother and their father. And if their mother and their father aren't showing each other respect, then they're not going to learn to respect other people and respect themselves. And I guess my second thing would be talk to your kids. More importantly, listen. I used to give my kids the ability to question. If I said no, then if they could educate me why my no should be different, maybe I just didn't have all the facts or I just didn't understand something, educate me why maybe I should see something another way, because I wanted them to be independent enough to question authority appropriately. But at the end of the day, if I say no, I still get the ultimate, you know, veto power. I don't care how much you tell me snakes are cool. You're never going to have one in my house. It's not cool. And then with the blended family thing is really help the kids through the transition. I think I missed out on that one because I was so caught up in the whirlwind of falling in love and wanting to be with my new partner that I think we thought the kids were maybe more capable of working some of that stuff out, and they might have needed more support. Maybe given more support, it would have helped them through the transition faster, voice the transition. Now that they're all adults and in their 20s, I've had some beautiful moments with some of them, my stepchildren, where they've told me, wow, you made me feel like this. And all I do, you know, can do is look at them and say, I'm really, really sorry. I didn't mean that. I was going through my own stuff too, and I just didn't think beyond myself enough to help you through what you were going through.
Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing and really great that they're able to communicate with you. So even though maybe during that moment you didn't do it as well as you might have hoped, you know, obviously you did something right because they're now willing to talk to you about it all these years later.
True. Yeah.
You know, so they're comfortable with you. They love you. They respect you. So mm-hmm. I think that's great. All right. Well, we are at the end of our time, even though I feel like we could keep on chatting. And I want to talk to you more, Lisa, offline about letting them voice their objections and their reasoning, because my 9-year-old is a king at that, and it drives me insane. So if I can get some advice from you, that would be great.
Definitely. Definitely.
And thank you both so much for sharing. I think that we shared a lot of good things that hopefully other people will find valuable, and hopefully we learned a little bit about each other too. So I'm going to share those songs that you both recommended, and if you have anything else that you want me to add links for, I'm happy to do that. Nikki, if you have any of the single parenting groups that you really think are great that you want to share with our listeners, I can add that as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Karen. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Have a great
you
night.
Too. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.